Morning, and just as Jesus could reach out, and just as he could lift Peter from that sinking water, he can lift us as well. Love lifted me. Many, many years ago, two young men were fishing on a low dam near a river near their hometown. And as they were concentrating actually on catching the fish, not really noticing what they were doing, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were really not very far from the water that was overflowing the dam where they had been fishing. And when they realized the situation, the current in the dam had become too powerful to keep their boat from going over. And below the dam, the water was dashing with such a strong and great force over the boulders through the crevices in the rocks. And caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never ever came to surface. After days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body, and then two or three days later, the other. You know, the danger of drifting is not limited to the physical realm. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will." Now, the Hebrew writer says that it is possible for you and I to slip or to drift away from God. I want to speak to you this morning about this subject. Are you drifting? How close are you to God? Have you ever made an analyzation about your relationship with God and how close you are to the Father? You know, many of us, when we became Christians, we were so strong. And we were so close to God, and we felt a real keen relationship. But sometimes through the years, because of many, many things, we have a tendency to drift away from the Lord that we claim to love. But how can we know that we are drifting? Well, let me share with you some things that you need to know about drifting. I don't really believe that anybody intends to leave God. I believe that once a person makes a deep commitment unto the Lord God, that they intend to stay there. But sometimes things happen in our life that have a tendency to draw us away or to allow us to go downstream from the Lord that we once made that commitment to. So let me share with you some things that we really need to know about drifting. I would tell you, first of all and foremost, that drifting requires no effort. Do you know, if you take your oars out of the water, if you're out there in a paddle boat or you're out there perhaps with oars in water and you quit rowing, it won't be long until you start drifting. And when you stop tracking against the wind, the boater will begin to drift. I can think of numerous examples in the scripture where people actually drifted away from God. They didn't intend to leave. It just happened over a period of time. They quit coming to worship one Sunday, and then they came back the next, and then they came back too, and then they stayed away too, and before long, they just kind of drifted away from God. They no longer enjoyed the warmth and the fellowship of God's people, and they had drifted downstream until it was too late. That's the reason the Bible says that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have learned, lest at any time we let them slip. You've heard the old expression, if you don't use it, you will lose it. And it is true. Many of you took courses in school. How many of you took Spanish in college or in high school? Anybody in here? How many of you can speak Spanish? Some of you can. You can speak Spanish. That's great. But you know what? Many people that have taken various courses through the years in college or perhaps in high school who have never used them have lost them. I'll be honest with you, I took 2 years of Spanish in college. I couldn't tell you the first word in Spanish. Well, maybe the first one. How about yo? But I know very little Spanish anymore. It is true of algebra. It is true of geometry. It is true of almost anything that you take in college. If you don't use it, you will lose it. And when people learn the Word of God, and they understand what the Word of God is, and when they cease to use it, they will lose it. And that's why the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have learned, lest at any time we let them slip. And you know what? When you let it slip from your mind, it won't be long until it slips away from your life. Drifting requires no effort at all. But there's another thing you need to know about drifting. It is an unconscious process. It just happens. You don't think about it. You don't intend to drift. I don't know anybody in this audience today that intends to drift away from God. You probably right now plan to stay close to God. But you know what? Circumstances in life can have their effect upon you. And you can get so caught up in the ways of the world, and you can get so caught up in other things in life, before long you have drifted away from God. Didn't intend to happen. It just happened. In a plane, the wind or the gravitational forces move the plane without you realizing it. By the way, did you know that's how John Kennedy Jr. died? In his aircraft. But the same is true in a spiritual realm. Many individual Christians drift away. Many become unfaithful to God. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible beginning in verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the hearing of the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." Do you know that not only do individuals drift away from God, and it happens unconsciously, did you know that churches do the same thing? Many of those who claim to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ have drifted away from the doctrine of Christ, and we have drifted away into the doctrines of men. We have started teaching, and we have become the proponents of the teachings of men and not the teachings of Christ. Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, and not the doctrine or the commandments of God." And if you don't hold fast to the truth, folks, you'll slip away and you'll drift away from Almighty God. They will find themselves so far removed from the Scripture to the point that they do not even resemble the church any longer. But there's another thing you need to know about drifting. Do you know you never ever drift upstream? It's always downstream. You don't drift against the tide. You drift downstream. And that's an important principle, isn't it? You never climb higher when you're drifting. Faithfulness to the Lord is like oaring upstream. We have to constantly be adding to our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says we're to add unto our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance, all these great qualities of life that will help us be stronger and keep us close to God. We must continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And the moment that you stop growing, you will start drifting backward and downstream, and you will be away from God. There's another thing you need to know about drifting, and that is the speed downstream always increases. Have you ever noticed that? When you're going downstream, you start going pretty fast. Sometimes it's hard to stop. And danger increases the speed of the drift. When we can hear the noise of the waterfall, sometimes it's too late. And we lose sight of land. It is more difficult to discern that we are drifting. You just stop and think about it. If you're out there on that water and you've drifted so far out and you have no point to look at, you don't know how far you've drifted. You don't even know where to return. You don't even know which direction to take to start rowing again. As we move further and further away from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do. You know, through the years, I've had the opportunity to be with people that had tremendous value systems at one time in their life. And you know what? They drift away from God just a little. And you know what? When they drift just a little, it doesn't bother them to drift just a little bit more. One sin leads to the next. One sin leads to the next and the next and the next. And before you know it, you have totally drifted away from God. But there's another thing you need to know, and that is that it is dangerous to other people. That's the reason Jesus says, "So let your light shine before the world that they might see your good work and glorify your Father who is in heaven." There are a lot of people in the world today that say, "Well, you know, it's not me that's wrong. Everybody else is out of step." I heard about a man who was driving down the highway one time when his wife called him on the cell phone. She had seen it on television and she said, "Honey, be careful. I heard on the news that there is a car on the freeway going in the wrong direction." And to this, the man replied, "Are you kidding? There are millions of them." Well, believe it or not, we do not think that we are at fault. We do not believe that we have drifted, that it is everybody else. But I'm telling you this morning, folks, that it is easy for us to drift. And there is a great danger to other people. You know why? Because people are looking at you. They are looking at your light. And if your light is blinking on and off, if your light is flashing today, but it isn't burning tomorrow, what is that saying to those who are lost out on the sea of life? It's so important for us to have the right kind of influence upon other people, because if our influence is not for good and if our influence is not right, you cannot lead the lost to Christ. You will only lead them down a path to hell. It is a dangerous thing. There are many parents today who are drifting away from God. Many of them. And you know what? Many of their children are drifting away from God too. I've had parents come to me and say, "You know what? I don't know what happened in my life, but my children are no longer faithful unto God." Let me tell you something. Wake up. Where are you? When your children drift away from God, don't blame the church. Don't blame society, but blame yourself as a mother and a father. Because many moms and dads are just simply drifting. They care a little about the direction their children are going. Their philosophy is, "Well, you know what? When I was young, I was made to go to church. But now, I'm not going to make my children go to church. I'm not going to get them involved in the kingdom. I'm not going to insist that they go and worship God." Well, what can you expect from your children? Many parents have drifted away. They are. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. But the book of Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but you bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." It is not incumbent upon the church to make your kids spiritual. It is not incumbent upon a Bible school teacher to plant all the knowledge that your child needs to know about God. You know who it's incumbent upon? You as a mom and dad. You you lose those golden opportunities to teach your children. That's why so much is said in the Bible about teaching our children and training our children in the way that they shall go, so when they get old, they won't depart from it. But many are tossed to and fro and carried by every wind and slate of doctrine. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. And one of the real dangers of drifting is the fact that it ends in shipwreck. You know, Paul mentions Hymenaeus and Alexander. Those are not real common names today. But Paul mentions them, and he specifically points them out in the writing of 1 Timothy 1:19, because he says that their faith that was once strong has now become shipwrecked. A boat adrift will crash on the rocks, or we'll go under the falls. And sometimes we do it just simply out of neglect. Now let me share with you quickly some common signs of drifting. If you don't know where you are right now, let me share with you some signs of drifting. First of all, there is a diminishing desire to study God's Word and pray. You know, the Bible is a unique book. It is. Unique. So unique. It's unique that it's been preserved all of these years by God Almighty. Even when others would try to burn them and destroy them and take them out of the hands of the people, the Bible is still today the number one bestseller. And I'm going to tell you something. People give the Bible as gifts. They do. Many Bibles will be purchased during this time of year to be given to a friend or to a loved one or a relative. It is the bestseller still out of all the books that are sold. It has a source of information that is unparalleled. But you know what? There are many today that have a Bible, but they never read it. Oh, I know. I see people sometimes carry a Bible in their automobile. Sometimes people carry it in their glove box. Sometimes people will have it laying out on the coffee table at their home. They may have it on the bookshelf, but the question is not how many Bibles you have, but how many do you read? A diminishing desire to study the Word of God and to pray to God is an indication that you are drifting. Prayer is a wonderful blessing. It is an avenue for us to communicate to God. But how often do you pray? How often do you call upon God? People worry a lot. People worry about the economy. They worry about taxes. They worry about what might happen in Washington. They worry about their social security. They worry about their health care plans. They worry about all these things when we ought to be taking it to God in prayer. We at one time were a nation built upon God, and a nation that prayed, and leaders prayed to God. I would to God today that all those senators and congressmen and the president up in Washington would get on their knees and start asking God for a solution instead of trying to battle it out among themselves. But then there is a diminishing desire, secondly, to be with God's people. You know, I can't think of anything more joyful to me than to be with the church. And I mean that sincerely. Those of you that know me, and I'm not saying that just because I'm a preacher. But I enjoy the fellowship of God's people, of those of like precious faith, those who love God and those who love one another. But people who drift have a diminishing desire to be with God's people. And as I said, that includes worship services. Why do we come together on Sunday? Why do you think we do this? You say, well, we come together to take the Lord's Supper. You know what? There's more to it than that, folks. Don't be disillusioned. The church is a support group, and we ought to be here for one another, to encourage one another, to motivate one another, to challenge one another, to help one another get closer to God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. We ought to be saying that to one another. If we no longer rejoice in worshiping God in the presence of brethren, let me tell you, we are drifting. Fellowship with God's people extends beyond the services of the church, however. We should be with one another and more. Get to know one another more. Sometimes people in the church say, well, I don't know that person. Get to know them. When it Will Rogers years ago said, I never met a man I didn't like, Abraham Lincoln said, you know, I don't like that man. I need to get to know him better. We ought to be concerned about edifying one another, for Romans 14, 19 says that we are to follow after the things whereby we may edify one another, build one another up. Sometimes churches lose sight of their mission. They think their mission is to keep everybody happy. They think their mission is to provide all kinds of entertainment when people come together to worship. That's not what it's about, folks. We're not here for any other reason than to glorify the God of heaven and to encourage one another. And people that say, well, I went to church, but I didn't get anything out of it. It was because you didn't bring anything to put it in. And it probably was because you came with an attitude when you got here. When a Christian prefers the company and the companionship of the people of the world more than the fellowship of God's people, he is drifting and heading for the rocks of destruction. But then there's also sometimes an indication of those who are drifting, and that is when they have a diminishing desire to share the gospel with other people. When was the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? Really talked to them about the Lord. You know, sometimes people are even ashamed to even bring up that one word, Jesus, in a conversation. That's why. That's why Jesus said, he that is ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation of him, will I be ashamed when I come in the clouds of glory? Maybe there was a time when you wanted to talk to other people about Jesus, but you don't do it now. Are you drifting? Are you? Are you drifting? Then there is the increasing thrill over the things of the world. You know, we are a people that are so worldly minded. We are. We act like the world. We dress like the world. We talk like the world. And we become like the world. Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans 12 says that we're not to be entangled in the things of the world. Some are more interested in worldly honors than they are to be honored of God. The Apostle John warns us about the love of the world when he says, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Love not the world, neither these things that are in the world. But it seems to me today that more people are more concerned about the world than they are about the church, and that's why they keep bringing the world into the church. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Well, what are the remedies against drifting? If you look at your life honestly, which sometimes people never ever do, but the Bible challenges us to look into that perfect law of liberty, that is the Word of God. What's the remedy against drifting? Well, first of all, I tell you to keep rowing. You're headed for destruction. Keep rowing. And it involves diligence. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. To make your calling and your election sure. That is to know for sure that you're right with God, and when you leave this world, you're going to heaven. It also means to abound in the Christian graces. There is no place in the church for retirement. I hear men say all the time, boy, I just can't wait till I can retire. What in the name of heaven are you going to do when you retire? You know, I've seen people that have retired. You know what they do? They sit around, watch TV all day and become couch potatoes. Most of the time. Sometimes they wring their hands wishing they were back at their job. I've known a lot of people like that. I mean, oh, it's okay for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month. You know, sometimes people talk about how busy they are. Boy, I just wish I wasn't so busy. You know what? If you were able to get it all wrapped up and you had a little time left over, you know what you'd be doing? You'd be sitting there, oh, I wonder what I can do now. There is no time to retire in the kingdom of God. There is no time to quit studying the Bible. No time to quit praying. No time to quit reaching out to the lost. No time to quit coming to worship. No time to quit helping other people in their Christian walk. What do? To keep from drifting, start rowing. And watch out for the undercurrents. We must always be on guard for the undercurrents of temptation. We have a fleshly nature that often wages a war against the soul. And then you can expect to go against the tide. You know, there are many tides that have a way of sweeping us away. Popularity, a lot of people want to be popular today. They'd rather be popular with the world than be popular with God. Peer pressure, big temptation. That's why a lot of our young people sometimes are drifting away from their spiritual relationship with God. Peer pressure. The praise of other people. Modernism is one thing that I think leads the church to drift away from God. Everybody wants to be like everybody else. Skepticism. Humanism. False doctrines of every kind. Liberalism and worldliness in the church. Probably the greatest enemies of the cause of Jesus Christ our Lord in our lifetime. Neglect, indifference, apathy. A lot of people just don't care anymore. Lack of interest and concern. And if one drifts along with the majority, it won't be long until you are lost. That's why it's so important for us to ask ourselves the question, am I drifting? Why not drift God's way? Why not become a Christian? A real committed Christian, not just one in name only. Too many of those. Too many professors of the faith and are not enough doers of the word. But you can come to Christ by believing in him as the Son of God, John 8 and verse 24. He said, if you believe that I am he, you'll be saved. If you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin. And where I go, you cannot come. We can confess his name before men, Matthew 10:32. And that's what he asks us to do. Sometimes we're ashamed to do it. We can repent of our sins, and a lot of people lack the intestinal fortitude to do that, to step out and say, hey, you know what? I've been drifting. I need to come back to God. Prodigal son many, many years ago realized that he drifted away from heaven and from his father. And when he came to himself, then he realized where he was. And he said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to give up the drift and I'm going to go back to my father and say to him, I've sinned against thee and against heaven and now I'm no more worthy to be called your son. A lot of people in the church are adrift. Because they're afraid to acknowledge their sin. Many have never been baptized scripturally in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sin. They're adrift on the sea. But God says that we must be baptized, and then we must live faithful to Him. It is not enough to begin. It is not where you begin your walk. King Solomon said a long time ago, better is the ending of a thing than the beginning thereof. It is not enough just to begin the walk with Jesus. We must be faithful to the end. For Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This morning, I hope you'll search your soul this morning, because where you are right now in your walk with Jesus may determine where you'll be when life is over here. If you're adrift, it won't change when you die. Death doesn't alter the course. You can only do it while you live. And this morning, let me appeal to you. If you're a Christian and you have gone adrift out on the sea of life, come back to God. Repent and ask God to forgive you before it's too late. Tomorrow may be too late. Maybe your life is like the song we're going to sing. I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. I hope you will while we stand and while we sing.